I don't know. I might remember Randy's sermon this morning quite a while. It was a powerful sermon. I have kind of a quandary tonight. I want to set up a scenario, and it's kind of going to be kind of difficult because I'm going to ask you to do something in your mind and in your heart that is not possible to do. But I'm going to ask you to do it just to think about this. When I was studying for this sermon, I ran across a scripture, and sometimes this happens to me. I don't know. It probably happens to anybody that reads the Word of God very much. But one verse caught my mind, and boy, it just expanded from there. And I'd like you to turn to the Galatians, the 6th chapter. In the 15th verse, it says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God." You know, history of the gospel is that the Jews were fighting it. The steadfast, hardcore leaders of the Jewish people were stirring up trouble everywhere that the Christians were forming a gathering. And one of the arguments they were presenting was a circumcision had to be involved in this religion. And, you know, it's awful easy for me when I was reading this to get off onto subjects that we have problems with in our daily worship. But I resisted that temptation. And I want to talk about the new creature we're supposed to be. You know, millions of people, and I'm going to probably get myself in trouble saying this, because I'm not judging individuals, I'm just judging what I see in the world. Millions of people claim to be new creatures in God. But I want to study that a little bit. I've got actually three subjects tonight, and so I can't stay on any one of them too long. But they are connected. I'd like to turn to Mosiah in the Book of Mormon, page 288. And I want to talk about a young man and his conversion to Christ. In the 186th verse, "For said he, I have repented of my sins and have been redeemed of the Lord. Behold, I am born of the Spirit. And the Lord said unto me, Marvel not that all mankind, yea, men and women, all nations, kindreds, tongue, and people, must be born again. Yea, born of God, changed from their carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness, being redeemed of God, becoming his sons and daughters, unless thus they become new creatures. And unless they do this, they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God." And just for a side note, this young man had been terrorizing the church. And most of us that are familiar with the Book of Mormon know the story. He'd been moved very strongly with the Holy Spirit to where he couldn't move a muscle. And when he woke, he proclaimed this. And from that day forward, what did he do? Anybody know? He went around and repaired the damage he did in the church. And then he went into what would be equivalent of, say, Iraq. It would be just like one of us going into Iraq and preaching the gospel of Christ and salvation. A new creature. I want to remind you that a lot of companies now, it didn't used to be popular, but a lot of companies, a lot of organizations, where I got a friend here from work, Bill and I work, they've got a mission statement, don't they, Bill? Yes, they do. Most companies do. And you know what? It bottom line is, regardless of all the words and all the phrases and all the flowery, we want to do this and we want to do that, bottom line is the company wants to make money. That's bottom line. Whether you're in servicing, whether you're in selling products or servicing or any kind of business, the bottom line is they want to make money. And I want to talk to you about Christ's mission statement tonight, because it's not about making money. But what if, here's the scenario I want to set up, and it's impossible to answer this, to actually comply to anything I say, but what if you could make a deal with God? How much money would you take to be a new person, a different person? And I want to remind you that this is not I'm not asking you about a casual thing here. You would have to, I've jotted down a few changes in our lives, or maybe you are already doing this, but there are things in your life that you'd have to change. You'd have to be a good Samaritan. You know that, what that means. You'd have to follow the fast in Isaiah of feeding the hungry. You'd have to listen to what King Benjamin said and not ask any questions who you should feed and who you should be generous with. If you have it, you share it. Put God first. Randy, what was the two laws? All your heart, mind, and soul. And then who? Your neighbor. Thy neighbor. These are things you would have to change. You have to keep your word. You have to study the word. You have to fast and pray. And there's two kinds of fasting. There's fasting of admission of something in your life. And there's fasting of service that Isaiah talks about. You have to give God control. And according to the Bible and the Book of Mormon, you have to touch no unclean thing. What would it take? If you could do it, what would it take? Quarter of a million? Half a million? If you could do it, 100,000, what would it take? What's God's mission statement? To save souls. That's God's mission. He's not talking about saving just Norman's soul. He's talking about the world. Way out beyond the boundaries of this church. Well, you can't make a deal like that with God. And it wouldn't work anyway if you could. I want to turn to the Book of Mormon, page 16. And I'm going to change gears a little bit. And before I read this, I want to make a few comments. Oh, I'm sorry. First Nephi, 13th chapter, page 161. I told you something else. I'm sorry. I was looking at different... 161. I was even turning to the wrong place. See, that's why it wouldn't work to make a deal like that with God, because we aren't perfect and we can't do it perfect. But I'm going to talk to you about something that God has given us that is worth way more than $500,000. Way more. But first, I want to read 13th chapter of 2nd book of Nephi, the 16th verse. And this is a powerful statement about Jesus Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sin, witnessing to the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and your Savior down to the water according to his word, behold, then ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to tell you something that is more valuable than any money in any country, any combination of countries, is that promise right there. That if you will follow Christ with full intent, and when you're baptized, you receive the Holy Ghost. Do you know what kind of promise and what kind of something special that is? The Holy Ghost. In Acts, in the first chapter of Acts, 8th chapter, but ye shall receive the power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, this is an unusual situation because he was talking to the new formed church. But that is our promise when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and go down to waters of baptism. We receive the Holy Ghost. Now, why do we receive the Holy Ghost? Why is it necessary? Anybody got an idea? For absolutely everything we do. Every person in here that has committed their life to Christ has the Holy Ghost in their life. You know the problem? We don't always listen to the Holy Ghost, do we? We listen to ourselves. I'll talk about that in a little bit. I don't know how many of you are taking notes. I know Jim takes the notes almost every sermon, don't you, Jim? And I cannot read every scripture about the Holy Ghost. But I want to give you a few scriptures if you're taking notes, and I want to read a few that are really important about the Holy Ghost. In John, the 14th chapter, do you know what it says in John, the 14th chapter, anybody? I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. I'm just wondering if you know in your heart, you know it, and it doesn't matter. But in the 14th chapter, the 26th verse, nope, I'm sorry. Pardon? Sixteenth verse is what I'm looking for. No, it's not. I wrote down the wrong. I'm in St. Luke. I'm sorry. Man, I'm not with it today, am I? Yeah. Thank you. John, I was in the St. Luke, so. Told somebody I wasn't nervous, but I guess I am. 26th verse, that's what I'm hunting for. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, I can't go into all the scriptures that tell us. There's one scripture I want to remind us that God has promised not to give us anything that we cannot bear. Well, that's not true unless you have the Holy Ghost. It isn't. I wish I knew the numbers of suicides every 24 hours in this world. Man cannot bear the evil in this world. And this promise of a comforter is so important. Now, there is a song in our hymnal. I'm going to try to find it. I hadn't planned on using it or referring to it. So this is on page 322. It says, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus, and I was weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Now, how do you know Jesus is with you? How do you know the Holy Spirit's with you? I'll tell you what my experience has been, and you can take this for what it's worth. Usually when a problem comes along, the first voice I hear is not necessarily a Holy Spirit. It's another voice, another spirit, wanting me to do something that would be destructive or harmful or a bad decision. Usually the Holy Spirit moves in after you've taken certain steps. I can remember one of the most devastating days of my life, spiritually. It could have been. It wasn't. The first voice I heard said, go out and get drunk on a skunk. And of course, I've had trouble with alcohol in my past. And I sat there and I bowed my head and I cried to the Lord for help. And the second voice said to me, give me a chance and things will be better. You understand what I'm trying to say? I have heard people in the gospel say, I know it's wrong, but I have heard that actual quote. I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell you, we have the most powerful. What did Randy say? They was talking about over at our mass destruction. This is a weapon of mass destruction. We have the most powerful weapon to fight evil in our lives if we'll just listen. I'm going to read some scriptures. Those of you who are taking notes, I want you to read them. Acts 9:31. Romans 5:5. I'm going to read Corinthians, the second chapter. First Corinthians, second chapter. Starting with 11th verse. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Now, I don't know if you're going to understand this the way I understand, but what this is saying is man, as a natural man, understands things of the world. And that darkness that Randy was talking about this morning. We understand that pretty well. That's a kind of a no-brainer if you ask me. We just seem to be drawn to it like a nail to a magnet. Save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now, you and I cannot discern or understand God without that Holy Spirit, that Holy Ghost. It is absolutely impossible for us to separate the wheat from the chaff without that Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, if you don't listen to it, that spirit, that voice, that sometimes it's somebody talking to you that gives you the answers through the Holy Ghost. Sometimes it's a phone call. Have you ever had that happen? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about Harvey Seibel. You're able to stand up and look the world in the eye and understand what is evil and what is not, what is of God. It's called discernment. And one of the things you better discern is not to ignore the Holy Ghost when it talks to you. I don't know if I've ever told this story one time. You know, the scriptures tell me that the spirit of the devil teaches you not to pray. Is that not right? God entices and wants you and teaches you to pray. We had an incident. How long ago was that big ice storm we had? It was 4, 5, 6 years ago. Time does fly, doesn't it? 5 years ago. I think it was in that ice storm. Maybe it was a different storm. Storms get mingled at wintertime. Anyway, there was a real bad storm, and we were supposed to go over to a friend's house for dinner, and it was Chris, Elizabeth, and my wife and I, and we got there, and she wasn't home. And the roads were getting really bad, and we were worried about her. She had a real light pickup, and we was worried about her getting home from work. And I was driving, and I don't even remember where I was going. I was driving somewhere, and my daughter said, "Dad, let us pray." I said, "Don't bother me with that right now. I don't want to hear it." Now, what voice was that talking to me? And I'm telling you, I didn't even give the Holy Spirit a chance to say, "She's right." The Holy Spirit was talking to me through my daughter, wasn't he? You bet he was. But I didn't listen. And I'm telling you that in my life, this is what I've observed. That most of the time, when a problem comes up, when you're in a situation where you have to make decisions, whether they be spiritual or financial or anything, if you just calm down and listen, you will hear the voice of God. Somehow, some way, He will let you know what to do. It may not be like you think it should be. It may not be the answer you want. But He'll talk to you. I want to turn to the third chapter of Nephi. Page 26. This is where I was going the first time. So. And this is a young man wanting to know about a dream his father had. And he's talking about the Holy Ghost. And also the things which he spake by the power of the Holy Ghost, which power he received by faith on the Son of God. And the Son of God was a Messiah who should come. I, Nephi, was desirous also that I might see and hear and know of these things by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is a gift of God unto all those who diligently seek Him, as well in times of old and in times that He should manifest Himself unto the children of men. For He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And by the way, in Hebrews 13:8, it says the very same thing. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the way is prepared from the foundation for the world, if it so be that they repent and come to Him. For he that diligently seek Him shall find. And the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto them by the power of the Holy Ghost, as well in this time as in times of old, as well in times of old and in times to come. You know, we're on an even playing ground field here. When you read about prophets and holy men in the scriptures, we've got the same opportunity. Do you realize that? Isn't that awesome? We should be jumping up and down and screaming, but don't do it. Inside, we should be jumping up and down and screaming, "Hallelujah, Lord! What a wonderful gift you have given us. You not only sacrificed your son for our sins, you have given us the Holy Ghost to guide and direct us, to teach us, to lead us, to increase our love." Did you know? Well, I'm not going to turn there yet. I've got to be patient because I've got another subject I'm going to cover. I know it was wrong, but I did it anyway. Doesn't that bother you? I've heard members of this congregation say that. And you may never have said that out loud, but you've acted it. Sad to say, every one of us have. You've made decisions without listening. Every one of us have. Every one of us. I'm going to read out of Book of Mormon again. Book of Helaman. I've got a friend from work that... Are you Baptist? You Baptist? Yeah. He knows we believe in the Book of Mormon, but he's not familiar with the Book of Mormon. But you let me know later if you hear anything that is contrary to what's in the Bible. You write, you take notes, Bill, and let me know, because I got to talk, because everything I read in the Book of Mormon testifies to the salvation through Jesus Christ. And I didn't pick and choose these scriptures. Page 556. Second chapter of Helaman, I'm going to start with the 71st verse. And I'm reading this because I'm going in and talking about something that is so important. Not that the Holy Ghost wasn't. But if we don't do, well, just a minute. "Oh, remember, remember, my son, the words which King Benjamin spoke unto his people. Yea, remember that there is no other way nor means where the man can be saved, only through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, who shall come. Yea, remember that he cometh to redeem the world." And in the 74th verse, he's talking to his sons. He says, "Now, my sons, remember, remember that as upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must build your foundation, that when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts in the whirlwind, yea, when all the hail and his mighty storm shall..." He's talking about spiritual storms here. Sometimes this can be confusing, but he's talking about when the devil throws his worst at you. "It shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe because of the rock upon which ye are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation wherein if man build, they cannot fall." I got a question, and you don't have to answer it. Just in your mind, think about this. When you're an infant, a spiritual infant, what was the first step you took toward Christ? There are some people in here that have been in the gospel of Christ all their lives. But there's some that haven't. What was the first step you took? Some people might say it's, "I believe in Jesus Christ." Close. You remember back in your... They don't have them, I don't think, anymore in playgrounds. But, well, they might. They got different types of entertainment in kids' playgrounds now. Remember, we used to have the monkey bars and the little thing that goes around, and we had what? A teeter-totter. Do you know what that was called in the center? Fulcrum. You know what the fulcrum of the spiritual, our spiritual lives is? Do you know what makes everything work? The grease, or whatever you want, however you want to put it. I'm going to read it, what it is. It is the belief in Jesus Christ that is important. I'm not trying to diminish that. But in Mosiah, the first chapter, page 217. Hmm. I want to start with the 116th verse. And moreover, I say unto you that there shall be no other name given, nor any other way nor means whereby salvation can come unto the children of men, only in and through the name of Christ the Lord omnipotent. For behold, he judgeth, and he is judged, his judgment is just. And by the way, before this, they were talking about infants dying and needing baptism. And this is his comment. And infants perish not, and die in their infancy. But man drink damnation to their souls, except, listen to this. This is the glue or the grease that makes everything work. They humble themselves and become as little children and believe that salvation was and is to come in and through the atoning blood of Christ the Lord omnipotent. For natural man, I'm going to stop there. Nothing you can do is done. If you do it spiritually through into Christ, you can't do it without humility. Nothing. You can't do nothing without humility. Because when you have not got humility, it turns to you. Then it's you making the decisions. Your very first step in making a declaration that I believe in Jesus Christ was through humility. It was not I believe in Jesus Christ. Because if it was, it didn't mean a thing. It was through humility. Your steps down into the water of baptism was through humility. Everything you do spiritually, you cannot listen to the Holy Ghost without humility. If you're taking notes, I got some very, very good. You know, in Luke, in two places, in the 14th and 18th verse, 14:11, 18:14, Christ himself says, he that is humble and humble himself shall be exalted spiritually. Proverbs 15:38. Micah 6:8. James 4:6-8. Every single thing we do has to be through spiritual humility. We have to give it up. We have to give ourselves up and trust in God that he will do the best for our family, and he will. You know, in closing, I'm going to turn to the fifth chapter of St. Matthew. And it's the part of the fifth chapter of St. Matthew we call the Beatitudes has been worked over a zillion times, had been talked about a zillion times. Well, I'm going to talk about it one more time, and it's pretty simple. It mentions, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention that if you were going to make a deal with Christ, one thing you have to do is give up violence. Because when the man's ear was cut off, Christ said, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. I just had to throw that in because I forgot to mention it. And it's important that you understand that the laws of God change. The spiritual formula God has given us, the new man is supposed to be truly awesome and new and excited and exuberant and willing to share this gospel with anybody under any circumstance. And your mission in life is to help save souls. Alvin Harris can't save one soul, can you, Alvin? But you can plant a seed, can't you? And you can water, Janice. And anybody in this building that is concerned about serving Christ is part of that process. But what I was going to say about the Beatitudes, and even blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You look at those. Take a minute. And tell me which one of those you can do without humility. Which one can you do? Which one can you be? You can't even be persecuted without humility, because the natural man stands up and fights. The natural man resists being pushed around. They take a sword and they cut off somebody's ear. They fight it. They take a brother to court. They sue somebody. Anybody find one of those you can work with? Randy, is there anything there you can do without humility? Am I wrong? I want to know if I'm wrong, because I don't see a thing we can do without humility. We can't let the Holy Ghost work in us. We can't be a child of God. We can't be changed. And I want to tell you something. I have all kinds of faith. You look at your life. Randy says look in the mirror. You look in your spiritual mirror. And if you see things you're not doing in humility, you change it. That's my goal. That was my goal. When this came out to me, I said, I'm going to change things. I know several areas I can change. And I'm going to do it with God's help in humility. I'm not bragging. But if you have any questions about this, I'm telling you, unless we start listening closer, unless we start becoming a little more humble, we're going to be caught up in this whirlwind in the world. I have a confession to make. Harvey will probably turn over in his grave. But I have had a hard time all my life getting involved in, like, revelations. And, you know, I know, Harvey, you study it a lot and you're into it, and there's nothing wrong with that in humility. Because I have a conviction in my heart that it doesn't matter. It's going to happen. Bad things are going to happen in this world. And I have to be concerned about my spiritual growth and my fellow man. Because as Randy preached this morning, I am my brother's keeper. And this is a family. And so for your better health, you better hope I'm humble and listening to the Spirit. Because if I'm not, I'm hurting you. And it's the same. It comes back the same way. Let me know sometime if you found anything you can do without humility. And let me know sometime if your carnal man can serve God. I want to know about it, because I don't believe it. Thank you. And Jim's still getting out.
Yeah, he's right. I was still writing. He always leaves the punchline to the end. The carnal man cannot serve God. It's a hard one to accept, and yet it's true. 327 is going to be our closing song. And then, of course, you're all invited to go meander downstairs, and we'll do things that are appropriate and fun, and enjoy a few hours of time together, and you can go home when you wish. I'm not going to lock you in, but you can stay as long as you wish. 327.
Thank you.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you at the close of this service, thanking you for this time that we've been able to be reminded of those attributes that are necessary in our lives. Indeed, help us to be humble and to be fruitful in doing those things that you would have us to do. Once again, I pray that you bless those that are sick and afflicted, those that mourn the passing of loved ones, that you provide that comfort that they are in great need of, that you would go with us through the coming year, that as we would plot our course, that we would do it with an eye single glory to thee, that we would endeavor to make those changes within ourselves that would make us children of thine and more pleasing to you. I ask these favors in Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You know.